Hey everybody, before we get to the episode, I just wanted to give a quick reminder about the competition we have going on right now where you could win 5 weeks of photography business coaching from Bernie Griffiths for free. Bernie and I both thought it would be a great idea to choose a photographer from the listening audience who would like to win 5 weeks of free coaching sessions on how to utilize Facebook ads and selling strategies to get more photography clients for your business. Bernie has agreed to do this completely for free, even though he normally charges for his coaching services. So this is your chance to work with a guy who really knows what he's doing. So the winner will receive a 1 hour Skype call each week for 5 weeks as Bernie coaches you in detail on how to bring your photography business to the next level. And in 5 weeks, he'll teach you how to get clients, and not just any clients, but the right clients. So this translates to dollars for your business. And again, completely for free. So we've decided to keep the process simple. If you want to be considered to win, simply send me an email at info@prophotographerjourney.com and tell me why you want to learn Facebook ads for your business and why you want to work with Bernie. Again, that email address is info@prophotographerjourney.com, and also mention why you need to learn better selling strategies for your business or why you want to bring your business up to the next level. So we'll be taking entries from March 29th through April 5th. And then we'll choose the person with the best answer. Also, this is part 2 of my interview with Bernie. And if you haven't checked out part 1, which we released last week, make sure you do so. We are going over the top 8 blockers that photographers face when running their business. And so today we're going to cover the final 4. All right, let's get to it. Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to number 5 of the big 8 blockers for photographers.
Well, obviously, lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. If we don't know what we're doing, we have these uncertainties. We're a little bit afraid of stepping into the unknown. And it is a little bit scary.
Are there any particular areas where you find photographers tend to be weak with their knowledge?
Well, let's take something like in-person sales.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one.
Like, yeah. They don't know how to do it. So because they don't know, they use another sort of excuse, or their head is telling them that different things. But if they knew how to, then they wouldn't worry about it. So if they had the knowledge of what to do and they had a plan, like when I sold those encyclopedias, what we had to do was learn a 3-page script. Hi, my name's Bernie. I'm from New World Encyclopedias. We originally started in Australia, and so on. And we had to learn that script. And when I went out first, I didn't know the script very well. But once I learned it, the confidence built, and then it was a lot easier. So it's the same with learning to do things and getting the knowledge, or getting a plan, I suppose.
So using in-person sales as an example, because I think that's a really good one and one where a lot of photographers struggle,
yeah.
What do you recommend they do for those who have never done one?
In-person sales is a must. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What I used to do and what photographers, I think, are lacking in doing, we used to do a lot of role-playing.
Hmm.
So I would role play with my wife or with staff or friends, and we were always trying to accelerate our knowledge and how to do things. For example, I can remember years ago when a couple come for a wedding interview about a wedding, we would put a tape recorder under the table and record it, right?
Wow.
And then play it back. And, you know, you might think that's a bit sneaky and it's a little bit private. Creepy. Or whatever. But we didn't think that. It wasn't about that. It was about us learning. and getting the knowledge of how to do it. But we got so confident that we'd just leave the tape recorder on the coffee table and say to the couple, "Do you mind if we just record this? Because I want to make sure I tell you everything."
Nice.
And they'd say, "Sure, like go ahead." And also to get that sort of knowledge of people's reaction and body language, when we did a wedding album presentation, we'd pre-design it and we'd go through it and do all that part, and then we'd show a slideshow of the completed album, and then we'd go upstairs, and we had monitors upstairs so we could watch the couple response. So if we'd have told, let's supposing we said, "So if you take those extra pages, it's an extra 3.5. I've just got to go and confirm my other appointments. I'll just let you have a chat about that. Go upstairs and watch the body." So if the groom was sort of, saying, shaking his head and going, "Oh, no," you'd know that, what you're going down into, that there's some resistance, or if they were hugging and that, the sale was made. So, but you learn, and we also learned how much time to leave the bride and groom alone for these moments. So then we didn't need that camera. So it's just knowledge. You have to learn. It's hard though. There's so much on the internet, and someone says this, someone says that, and that's the way it is. There's not just one way. What I found is that a photography business isn't a template exactly. There are certain strategies and that we implement, but everybody's different. Everybody's an individual. Everyone listening to this is in a totally different situation with their, private lives, with their photography, with their amount of skill, with the number of years they've been doing it, etc., and with their wants and needs and what their definition of the island of gold is. But there's one thing we have to, and that's knowledge, because as I say, knowledge is power. So the more and you have to know what you don't know.
You do. And what I found helpful, I love that example of role playing to help you learn in-person
It's
sales. And
great
one
fun.
thing.
We have great fun. I do it all the time with my clients over Skype, and the first time they go, "Ah," they just freeze. They don't say anything. And I know what it's like because I used to be like that. I just freeze.
And that's where practice comes in into play. And another thing too is for me, putting together a presentation, so having a script, but putting it together down on a PowerPoint presentation, for example. And number one, it helped me appear more together and on top of things for my clients. And then number two, it helped them get a visual, like put some music to it and show some past shoots and examples. They get excited. And then what I found, because I have a tendency to freeze too, is if I have the basic information on a slide, even if I freeze, it's like I'm working from notes. The presentation is just a
Notes.
fancy way of note
That's
taking.
it. That's it. And I do the same when I do a presentation. I end up with 47 slides. And I may as well not be there. Just show them the slideshow because it's all there.
Right.
Because
And you put it
it's
together once and it's there working for you.
So yeah, with that, you've just got to role play. You've got to step outside of yourself, as I've said. And in my early years of business, my business became very successful. Within 3 or 4 years, I was doing 40 sessions or so a week, portrait sessions as well as doing wedding. So when you do 40 sessions a week and you do 40 sales a week, you learn a lot, right? You learn about processes and systems and having a studio manual about how to do things. Because then, of course, I had to get staff. I had a salesperson, then I had a marketing person, then I also had a person to do admin, which was my wife, and then I had another person putting albums together and that. So you sort of you learn rapidly the tasks that you have to do. So you just have to go for it and learn by doing and find out.
Absolutely.
Ask someone if you don't know.
And one last thing before we move on to number six. Within the lack of knowledge, I've seen a lack of lack of knowledge of photo editing. And I mean, I was talking to one photographer where she was trying to get her business off the ground, but she found that she was taking, number one, well, number one, undercharging, number two, taking too long to edit the photos.
Yeah.
And she mentioned that she barely knew how to use Photoshop and it was holding her back.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this particular case, I ended up suggesting Perfectly Clear, which, I mean, they're not paying me to say this. It's just, it makes it so much faster. And so by helping her to not have a lack of knowledge, I mean, Photoshop was holding her back. A lot of people find it scary, or Lightroom people find scary, which it's not once you learn it. But expanding your knowledge and being open to other types of software,
yep,
it solved her problem. She actually sent me some photos, some retouched photos using Perfectly Clear. And she was like, oh, it saved me so much time. And the photos looked better than ever. It brought her business up, her photo editing up to the next level, and it saved her time. So lack of knowledge, don't let that hold you back. Do your research. Sometimes you have to change how you do things. It can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, but with the lack of knowledge, can I suggest that,
mm-hmm.
you know, photographers sort of tend to be a bit notorious for following other photographers.
Yeah.
I've always been, all my photography life, I've gone to business seminars. I'm not a fan of photography events. In fact, mm-hmm. I generally avoid them. I've been to WPPI a couple of times, but I didn't go this year because for me, it's I don't know, in a way meaningless, because I'd rather go to a 3-day business event,
mm-hmm.
because if that's what you need to know, and that's what I need to know more, even more, we're always learning. If the photographer needs business knowledge, go to business seminars, forget about photography seminars. They're mm-hmm. not going to teach you what you need to know. You need to know mm-hmm. the business side. You need to meet business people. And you'll That's find huge. The most successful photographers around attend more business than photography events. It's so,
so
enlightening, yeah. So you have to get your head out of photography. Get your head into business. The photography is not the difficult part, right?
It's not.
Anyone can take a good photo.
Yep. Yep.
Nowadays, we've got the technology. I take photographs on my iPhone all the time. It drives me silly. I can't stop taking photos, and it gives me a great result. Mm-hmm. And I can't help myself. I don't post anything on Instagram or Facebook without editing. I go into mm-hmm. the iPhone and crop it and, you know, change the shadows, lift the shadows up a little bit of contrast. And all of that, mm-hmm. I just can't help it. It really annoys me. But I'm just stuck with that. And I take the photos. It's really frustrating. It really came to light, you know, this Sunday, because I'm in New York. There's a St. Patrick's Day parade down Fifth Avenue. And I'm taking photos. And then the mayor of New York comes down. And he sort of walks past. And I thought, I've got to get a photo of this. And I run in front. And then I go, why am I doing this? I'm not selling these things. Why am I putting this effort into these photos? And I'm thinking that I'm selling them or something. I'm covering it like an event that I've been paid for. And that frustrates me quite often. So, yeah, but, yeah, go to business events. There's some great business mentors out there. And subscribe to their podcast and subscribe, you know, get the information. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. You've got to connect your photography to business.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to work parallel together.
Absolutely. Let's move on to number 6.
Yeah, we've talked about that, wanting everything perfect. Let's try and forget about perfection, because in my eyes anyway, it doesn't exist. You should aim for it, but whether you get there, you do want to do the best possible job, but sometimes... Mm-hmm. Sometimes I used to take really bad photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were that bad that I couldn't face the customer. So I used to send my wife down with them and say, I can't, I don't, these aren't good. And I'd hear them, you know, and the customer go, wow, that's fantastic. And my wife, Wendy, would say, yes, beautiful. She's beautiful. They're great photos, aren't they? Yeah, Bernie did such a good job. And I'm going, well, isn't that all you need? The customer to be happy?
It is.
And I'll go, whew, got away with that one. So
I think we've all been there.
wanting everything perfect, sometimes it's not, you work hard to get it good, quality, all of that. But bottom line is the customer. It's not what you think, it's what the customer thinks, right? So many photographers as well sort of say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that color, or I don't like. It's not about you. It's about the customers. Please them. Ask them. Show them. Get the feedback from them. What do you think? Ask them.
You just said it. It's not about you.
It's
It's
not
about the
about you.
customer.
You're thinking you want everything perfect. Well, what about the customer? What do they want? They don't know the difference anyway.
Right,
So just
right.
work with your customers a little bit closer. Give them more what they want, rather than what you want to give them. Sometimes you have to take the customer out of the equation as well, like with your processes, that's very important. But yeah, just get perfection out of your head.
I've even seen this extend to gear, to hardware, where photographers get caught up in having the perfect lens or the per Now, granted, you need to have adequate equipment for the type of photography that you're doing. But when you're spending thousands upon thousands more to get the coolest new light, or I mean, with the way they market photography equipment, it's almost hard not to get caught up in that game. But what I've found is that we need to first learn how to use the equipment that we have. Make sure it's adequate for what you're doing, but learn how to use it. Maybe I've had one or two clients ask me, and usually it's if they're hobby photographers themselves, and they'll say, "Oh, what kind of lens are you using? What are you going to use to edit this?" But for the most part, especially with businesses, they could give 2 cents about what
No.
kind of equipment I'm using as long as I give them the end result that they're looking
Exactly.
for.
Exactly. And that's the point, isn't it? We are flooded with advertising with the word perfect. I see it all the time, with the perfect body.
Oh, don't get me started.
Right. I
Yes.
want that, but what is
Mini rant
it?
warning. So there is no. Okay. Working in the magazine industry, it was so much fun, but it was also so enlightening because we'd fly in models from around the world, the most beautiful women I'd ever seen. You'd think that they would think that they were perfect, especially when they're supplemented by certain plastic body parts. And let me tell you, they were some of the most critical women of themselves. Like during the photo session, we have this cool big monitor where they could see the photos that we're taking in real time. And these women would criticize their thighs and look how
Oh,
fat I am.
God, don't
It's
have.
and then you publish these out into the public where other women or girls will see these images and think that that is perfection, and it's this unrealistic standard of beauty. Okay, I'm done. I'm just,
Yeah.
ethically and morally, it made me wonder, like what change am I making on the world with these images? So there is no such thing as perfection,
No.
especially with all the retouching. And that was another thing. No matter how beautiful these women were, we were called to retouch certain things. So
Yeah, it just goes
anyway,
on and on. And
my rant is over.
I remember years ago, a girl I was dating, and she had a nose done, a nose job done, a smaller nose. And I thought she looked much better before. But then,
Oh,
because she'd
yeah.
had one thing done, other things didn't look as good. It's like when you're renovating, you paint a wall, and then the couch looks old. So you need
That's what
there's no
happens.
end.
That's what happens.
So
Oh.
yeah. So just
Okay.
don't. Perfection's okay, but it's not zero. It's
Right.
not real.
Right. Yeah. So number seven.
Lack of support, I mentioned earlier at the beginning of this. You've got to have people around you. I'm a coach, so I work one-on-one via Skype. So I see the person, and I do it that way because I can see, their eyes. I can see when they're close to tears, if they're having a bad day or they did a bad session or whatever. And I'm a bit of a support to them. But if you've got good support, like I've had my wife for all those years, and she was fantastic support, never put me under pressure, no expectation, just supported me and was there. That's great to have that support. And other photographers find it in other ways. Like, your podcast's fantastic for photographers because they can relate and they feel part of a group, and that's important. They are not alone. And that loneliness is one of the hard things, because you can be very alone if your partner doesn't like what you're doing and you just have to do it all yourself. It's good to have that support. So find support wherever you can. But I suggest you get the support in the right direction. Seek out those that know and have done it more than you. With the industry, this is like a rebirth of the photography industry. It's like a second coming with digital, which is interesting. But there are a lot of people out there, a lot of photographers out there that have not got enough knowledge that they should impart it into others. So find people with a lot more experience if you're looking for good support. But we all need some form of support and forums and podcasts. It's all good. And that just helps that loneliness as well. You want to be recognized as you exist, I suppose, and we do that in
You do.
life anyway.
You do. And what's nice is that with this rebirth of photography, I like the way you describe that.
Yeah.
There are workshops out there that you can go to in person. There are meetup groups. Even just getting together with some
Yeah.
friends, having that balance in your life is so important. Or even just if there's a photographer in your area that you admire, send them an email. Invite them for coffee.
It's amazing how you can do that. It's amazing. I was in New York last year, and I forget his name, which is a bit sad, but I read about this photographer who photographed the Queen and the presidents and all of
Oh.
this, and I contacted him. And I said, can we have coffee? He said, yeah, I'm actually in New York. I'm going to catch the train this afternoon, but we can meet at 3 o'clock on my way to the train. And we did. And he came with his wife and I had a chat to him. And I thought, wow, and a great photo opportunity. So I took photos and I'm going, wow, I met this guy. He photographed the Queen of England and presidents. And wow. And I was nobody, right? I was just some Aussie in New York, and he just said, come and have a coffee. It was great. So yes, do that. If you're a photographer out there, you're feeling a bit lonely. It's amazing. People like to connect with you and know your story. So yeah, don't be alone and get the support you need. It's important.
It is, and full disclosure, well, I've admitted it before. That's why I started this podcast. I think it was 2013. I had my own little business. Man, was I struggling. And I'm like, I don't know what I don't know. So if I have a podcast, it'll give me an excuse to talk to other photographers and to make connections and to not be so darn lonely.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. Imagine my surprise sending out these emails. The first group of emails, like, hey, I'm this photographer in Michigan, and of course, you've never heard of me, and do you want to chat? And to my surprise, 9 times out of 10, I got back reply saying, yes, let's do it. I was blown away. I could not believe it. And some of the photographers that replied, I mean, they've worked with Oprah and they've shot
Yeah.
all these magazines, and it's a wonderful feeling when we support each other
Yeah,
as photographers.
and at all levels. So don't be
Yes.
afraid to jump higher than the bar you think. I love mixing. I was never an award-winning photographer. I shot for sales, not for awards, and that was my choice. But I probably may have a little regret that I didn't do that. But that's just the way I was. I was a
Well,
business.
I think you still did pretty good.
I was a, oh, yeah, I did well, but I was a businessman, right? Really. And photography was my vehicle. So, yeah, that's cool. But get some support. Yeah. Get excited. I think one of the great thing is, as well, when you've got support, you've got to have some excitement. Bring the fun back. Photography is fun. Running a business is fun. Even the bad times.
Indeed.
I
It
used to
can
go
be,
through some bad times, and I used to say, even the bad times are good in my business. Because it's all part of learning. It's great. What, you want to live the perfect life? Yeah, well, what's that then?
I was going to say, what is the perfect life?
Huh?
There's no such
Well, there
thing.
you go, back to perfection. And
I know.
I don't envy anybody or the lives anyone lives. I live my life, and it's the best life
There you
ever,
go.
ever.
So number eight, the
Yeah.
final number eight.
And probably the hardest one is no self-esteem. I was very shy as well when I was younger, but when I got a camera in my hand, I could talk to anyone, I could control any situation, take that camera away, and I was just nothing. And when I worked on the ship, photographing the captain, I could say to the captain, "Yeah, get closer here and move people around." And I had power. I had more power than the captain at that moment because he was nervous, obviously, being photographed, as a lot of people are. So you've got to take that power that you have and that vibe you get in and that zone. Because I used to go into a zone when you put a camera in my hands, it's a zone. It's a
It is.
little bit of a different person, and it's full of confidence and powerful. So try and get that without the camera. So you've got to train yourself to have that because you've still got the powers there. And knowledge will give you the power. So work on your knowledge and that'll lift your self-esteem. It's you don't know what you're capable of. I'm always interested. What fascinates me is people's potentials. Why do some people climb to great heights and others don't? Is it that somewhere along the way something blocked them, or is it just their destiny that they were never meant to? But you can't answer those questions unless you give it a hell of a go, right? You just don't know. So if you've got low self-esteem, just work on it. Find role-playing will help you enormously. Having scripts will help you enormously. How to speak to people, phone scripts. I've got a couple of clients, new clients at present, who are like that. She finds it so difficult to phone people up. I said, just phone, And then I get a text saying, "Yeah, I phoned her up, and it wasn't as bad as I thought." I said, "No, it's not bad at all. Talk to people." So it's exciting, to watch people that I coach come from a place of low self-esteem to the body language is totally different. It's amazing. One minute their head's down a little bit and then they lift up and the back straight and the neck straight and they look straight. And it's a fantastic feeling. It's one of the joys I get from coaching is when I see that change in the person. So you have to work on that. And again, it takes time, but it takes steps to do it, to believe in yourself.
I love that you started off explaining how we have to carry over our confidence from the photo sessions into the other aspects of our business, because I think a lot of newer photographers starting off, they're nervous
Yes.
during the photo sessions because they're not sure about lighting or they're still learning to use their camera. But what I have found is that if you kind of, and you can, if you don't agree, it's fine. Just totally offer a better way. But if you kind of fake that confidence in the beginning, I have found that to help me because clients will reflect your energy during a photo session.
For
So
sure.
if you come off as unsure, then they're going to feel unsure about you and your skills and also about themselves. And so in the beginning, I had my photography session voice, which it was more, I would start a stream of soothing conversation and telling them they're doing great during a photo session, even though I'm racked with nervousness in the inside. And really, I was talking to calm myself down and that eventually calmed them down.
Yeah.
And then once I was calm, I could get excited. And then I like do a squeal when I, even to this day, when I'm excited during a photo session. And when they see me excited, then they get excited.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you were right when you mentioned that, like for example, captains on a ship, in that moment, you have more power than they do, and they're nervous about being photographed. I've noticed that with doctors and
Yeah,
surgeons. I mean,
exactly.
surgeons are trained to work with their
Yeah.
hands, but you sit them down for a photo
Yeah.
session, They'll ask me, what do I
What
do?
do I
What do I
do?
do with my hands?
Yeah, that's
Right?
nervous. Yeah, that's
Right.
nervous.
And so you have that power. But when you learn how to be confident during a photo session, that carries over into other aspects. When I get clients on the phone, I find that I get my photo session voice on the phone,
Yeah.
like the calming, soothing.
Yeah. Well, it's showtime. I always looked upon it showtime. When I used to do my sales presentations, I'm the guy, that had a mirror at the back of the studio and it had smile written on it. And I'd hear the doorbell ring to the studio and I'd look in the mirror, fix my hair, take a couple of deep breaths, smile, go, open the door, showtime. And it's good. You get in that showtime zone. It's fantastic. It's where the joy is. It's where the person is that's trying to come out. And you hope you could live your whole life in that way, with a camera in your hand, like walk around to the camera. It's great. But you can't live with a camera in your hand, so you have to bring yourself outside of that. But yeah, the self-esteem thing, you can work on it. So don't feel if you're like that and you lack self-esteem, whatever. A good way to start is obviously present yourself properly when you're meeting people. Dress appropriately, put your best clothes on, make sure you look good. That's a start, because if you dress appropriately, you feel better anyway about yourself. I've got this one client I can think of, and normally I'd Skype her and she'd be in, baggy jeans and that, because she may not have clients that day and she's got a couple of kids, whatever. But boy, when she dresses up, does she look amazing? You go, wow. And that's the way she presents to the customer. She looks like $1 million. And everything changes then. So start by dressing appropriately. Be proud of the industry you're in. Be a leader. Show people that what it's about. You're doing something that's important for them. So lift the self-esteem. Role playing can help that as well.
And just to close this interview, this has been fantastic, by the way. So, with self-esteem, the impact, there seems to be two types of impact that you make. There's the photos that you take, but also that person-to-person relation.
Yeah.
How you present yourself, how you talk, that's always a lasting impact. My clients comment as much or more on how I made them feel during a session, or how what they perceive as my professionalism. They mention that almost more than the photos.
Yes,
So
exactly.
do keep that in mind.
That's an excellent point. And we're doing weddings. I used to get guests coming up to me and say, "Gee, you did a great job." And I go, "You haven't even seen the photographs yet. I don't know whether I had any film in the camera." But yeah, you do have to really get that out there. So it doesn't matter about the photographs anymore. It's the experience that they've had. They feel uplifted because they've had this great experience. So that's a good point. And you can pass that on. If you're a little bit of an introvert, my wife's an introvert, so I know what it's like. I'm always trying to get her out a little bit. But she's the opposite to me, right? Opposites attract. If you're a little bit introverted, just work on it. You can get there. And you don't have to be big and noisy. You can do it in a soft way. One of the best wedding photographers I know was a 5'4" little woman, but everyone loved her. So, yeah, it's work on it and work hard on it.
This has been amazing. I may break this up into two episodes. There's so much good content
Well,
for this.
we haven't even talked about Bernie's soft sell system. We haven't talked about Facebook advertising, which is when I brought that 3 years ago, is totally changing photographers' lives, saving people from going broke. So there's a little bit more content that we could talk about.
So what you're saying, Bernie, is that I'm going to have you back on the show. Definitely.
Well,
Let's.
I think the thing, Shamira, it just depends on what reaction you get to this. And then if you do, maybe ask them, what topic see if you can find a popular topic that,
I like that.
and then we could sort of nail that in. But it's really exciting. I think you're doing a great thing. I've only realized probably a lot more recently, because I'm a bit of a solo person. I always look upon myself as an eagle. I don't generally mix with crowds. I'm not, like a chicken clucking around in a farmyard. I'm a solo person. I do things alone better. That's another topic, and I've lost the point of what I was trying to say there.
Well, by the way, thank you for the compliment on the podcast. And even though you see yourself as a solo person, the information that you put out there is definitely helping the photography industry. So.
Yeah, you see, and as you said, you only need one or two people. I mean, it's uplifting when I get, like I did yesterday, a text and it said, "Hi, Bernie, and I'm not coaching her anymore. We've just finished our 12 months coaching because she's pregnant, because women get pregnant, right?
Nice.
So she's having a little too soon. I think she's about 4 or 5 months pregnant. She's still taking photos. She did a $2,900 sale and a $2,200 sale on the same
Hey.
day. She works from home, and that's her highest sale ever, 2,900. So that's great. That's why I do what I do when I see that happen. That's exciting for me. Especially numbers. High numbers are the most exciting things.
So I look forward to having you back on the show. To be determined what we're going to talk about, but with all the knowledge in your head, I would love to have you back
Yeah,
in the
it'd be
future.
great. We could keep it shorter and really punch it out there. I think because that excites me as well. Because I know there's a lot of photographers that struggle on a lot of things, and any little help, any little handle, any little bit of advice. I was listening to your last podcast, and you talked about marketing.
The marketing moment.
Yeah, you see, because of the success of the Facebook that I've done, what about if you did a Facebook ad and you got 300 leads from it? It's a portrait photographer. And then what about if you did three ads and you got 700 leads, people wanting the photographs taken? That for me is marketing, is getting leads in and then converting them to sales. So that's sort of my passion and what I've seen. I'm visiting Marcus Anthony in North Carolina next week. And Marcus, in 6 or 7 months, that's his journey. He's living the dream after 6 months.
With Facebook ads.
Primarily, that's our main
Wow.
source. And he's just so wrapped. And yeah, it's exciting.
If you have a step-by-step way of doing that, I am sure our listeners would love to hear you
Ah,
break that down for them.
well, I did that 3 years ago on Andrew's podcast, and because I could hardly speak that day. It's episode 136, I think, and because of working with the clients, and I discovered this actually worked. I came up with this concept, and it worked. And I contacted Andrew, and I'd never been on his show before. And I said, "Andrew, you've got to tell people about this." And I went on, and it's just been one of the biggest things, comments that he gets all the time. And there was a photographer I coached, Ian Sim, that Andrew did the last episode with, and Ian was talking about the Facebook ad that sort of saved his business. And he's got too many clients now. So that for me, I could. Yeah, that's
Let's
exciting thing.
plan on that.
I'm wondering whether we could give a prize or something, or do a test. I've always wanted to do a test, which I do with some clients, where we take a photographer who's not earning any money and see how much we can earn, we can make them in 5 weeks.
Oh, how cool.
And we can follow the journey week by week, and you could interview them maybe and say, how are you going, and whatever. I quite willingly offer my time free to, consult with that person just as a test. Now, if it doesn't work, then I shot myself in the foot, but I don't care, right?
Well, if you're, it's for free, so
Yeah, but
they'll learn from the experience.
but I'm a coach, so if it fails, that means I'm a failure, right?
Well, not necessarily. It's all
No,
a process.
that's right, not in my eyes. But others, I won't look upon it as failure. I look upon it as a great experience. But that'd be just interesting. And if you did that, I think it'd be just be interesting for you to interview them, not me, or you. I could add input, but it doesn't matter. That all the things we've spoken about today would be encompassed in that, because they'd be going through that journey, which you've been through. So wouldn't that be fascinating? And to see what happens.
I would love to take you up on that.
Could
And
implode.
even
It could implode. They might go like, which has happened as well. I've got a five-week course, and I continued coaching this girl, and she said, stop it, stop it. Like, I don't want to, I've got too much to do now. She actually, yeah, it's a great journey. And that's the name of the podcast. So we could track a journey.
So just to, this is a bit spur of the moment, but just to throw that out there to our listeners, if there is anyone who would be interested in possibly embarking on that journey, send me an email
That'd be
at
good.
info.
Yeah, that'd be good for you as well, obviously, is the podcast. Everything I do tends to be strategized.
Yeah,
So
even better, even
the
better.
strategy behind it is to get more engagement with your people, your tribe.
Right, and this I see this as a way of serving them. I mean, if we could take a photographer who's struggling and turn their business around, that is huge. That is a huge impact for
Someone
them.
who feels deserved. Who feels, yeah, you can work on that. It'd be good for the whole community that you.
It would. It would. So listeners, if you're interested, send me an email at info@prophotographerjourney.com. Again, info@prophotographerjourney.com. I'll mention this in the show notes too. And we'll see what comes of it. We'll see what
Yeah,
comes of it.
yeah. Is anyone brave enough?
Exciting. Oh, well,
Is that it? Yeah.
let's wrap up this interview. And wow, Bernie, just thank you. Thank you so
That's
much.
all
This
right.
has been just amazing. We really appreciate it.
My heart rate has gone up, so that's exercise. That's exercise for me, right? No, I'm excited. This is what switches my light on, It's helping, and I'm excited. I'm pumped. Let's go.
Oh, me too. If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.